Let us turn in God's word again to the Psalm 16. I draw your attention to the verse 3. Psalm 16, verse 3. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, the psalmist here says, my goodness does not extend to the Lord. Can't do anything for the Lord. But for the saints in the earth and the excellent, in whom all is all my delight, I can do good for them. I want to do good for them. I must do good to them. And so we looked at this last week. We particularly looked upon the words, the saints that are in the earth. And we saw that was a description of the people of God. I draw your attention this morning to the words, the excellent. They're not only the saints. The people of God are the excellent. And the same context applies. The excellent in the earth, not the excellent in heaven. Again, as his goodness can't extend to the saints in the heaven, neither can it extend to the excellent in the heaven, but the excellent saints on the earth, his goodness and kindness can extend to them. So the saints on the earth, the people of God, are called the excellent. So saints have this quality of excellence. You all know what the word means. I assume have some idea of its meaning. It means to have excelled in some way above others. You know, students, they get their marks. Some fail, sadly. Some pass. But others, they do excellently. They get top marks. They excel. And the teachers might refer to them as the excellent. So the word implies a contrast with others who are not excellent. Another example of the use of the word is in affairs of state, where we have different classifications, kings and princes, right down to officers of state, down to the ordinary citizens. And so emperors and kings, or even lower princes and nobles, might be referred to as Your Excellency. Your Excellency. And that implies that there are others who are below their station. Well, to God, the ones who are the excellent ones in the earth are his people, the saints. There's something about every child of God that is noble, that is majestic. There is an excellency that characterizes Christians. The word here used is used of several things in Scripture. It's used of the waves of the sea, the mighty, the excellent waves of the sea. Those waves that rise away up and they come washing over the harbor. They're excellent. They're majestic. It can be used even of God himself. We read in Psalm 8, the psalm begins and ends on the same note. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thy name is noble and majestic. It's wonderful. It's used of princes and nobles and kings, even unconverted princes, nobles, and kings. For example, it says, God slew famous kings. Excellent kings. They were pagans, they were heathens, but they had nobility amongst their people, and God slew them. So clearly David here sees that there is something about God's people which makes them to stand out. There's something different about the saints. Something that characterizes them as separate from all the inhabitants of the world. It's a good difference. It's a wonderful difference. It's something that shows their nobility and majesty. But not only does David see this, his son Solomon saw it as well, because he wrote in his book of Proverbs, "The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor." And so Solomon saw it as well, the excellency of the righteous of the saints. Now, quite obviously, congregation, this is not something material that we're talking about, not something physical. We don't mean that they're great in wealth, not something that runs in their blood as if of noble birth. No, in fact, most Christians are just ordinary, poor. You remember how James said, "Have not God chosen the poor of the world?" So the world doesn't look upon them as excellent. They're the poor, they're the paupers, they're the lowly people. And the world doesn't see any excellency in them, because this isn't material or physical or something that can be observed in their outward appearance. Paul said, "You know your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath called the foolish. He has chosen the foolish to confound the wise." And so in the eyes of the world, they don't have these characteristics of excellence at all. Not noble, they're not mighty, they're not intellectual, they're not rich in the main, because God doesn't generally call those kinds of people. He calls the poor, the ordinary. No, every Christian is poor and needy. And David knows that, of course. That's not what he's talking about when he says they're excellent. That he does not speak of material standing or station is obvious, because he says they need the goodness extended to them. They need all the help that I can give them. They need all my goodness as a king and a prince in Israel to be extended to them, because they're poor and needy. So he's not talking of material excellence. He's not talking about nobility that runs in their blood. And he himself, David, is poor and needy as well, because he begins the psalm and he says, "O Lord, preserve me." So he knows that there are mightier ones than him, more mighty forces than himself. So this is not something physical or even intellectual. This then is not something that we think or feel about ourselves as Christians. Whenever we especially examine our hearts, we don't feel that we are excellent. We don't have a sense of superiority or of supremacy. No, we say like the psalmist, "I am small and despised." That is, "I am of no account, Lord. But I don't forget your precepts." That's our excellency. Not what they are in themselves. No, I'm small, I'm nothing, I'm lowly. But their excellency is seen in their heart's desire. "But I keep your precepts, Lord." So they know the excellence that they have, whatever it is all of grace. They never forget what they were. They never forget the station that they came from. They never forget the lowly place that they were digged out of by God's saving grace. They are the excellent, but they're not the proud. They're not the self-conceited. They're not the superior and the self-righteous. This excellence is not the excellence of the Pharisees, who stand and pray with themselves and say, "God, I thank you that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as that publican there, that sinner." No, the child of God doesn't say, "Stand by thyself, don't come near to me, for I am holier than thou." The child of God doesn't speak like that. That's not the excellency that he has. People who think and feel and speak like that, they're obnoxious and smoke in the nostrils of Almighty God. So it's not the excellence of the self-pleased, but the excellence of men and women who have been subdued by grace. The excellence of believing men and women who, rather than well pleased with themselves, are pleased with their Savior. Who see not themselves as sweet or sweetness, but Christ and His grace as sweetness. Excellent they are, and yet they can say, Christ came into the world to die for sinners, of whom I am chief. Chief sinners is how they feel about themselves. Like Job, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And yet he was an excellent one in the earth. Paul said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? And Peter, the great apostle, what did he say? Lord, depart from me. I'm an unworthy man. I'm sinful. And Isaiah, that holy prophet, who said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, O Lord. And this is always so of Christians who think lowly of themselves. Like Bishop Hooper, the great Protestant martyr, who said, Lord, I am hell, but thou art heaven. And like Bradford as well, John Bradford, another martyr, who sometimes signed his letters so humbly, as on one occasion at least, he said, the most hard-hearted John Bradford. Yes, they in their excellence confess these things and say, Lord, thy gentleness alone has made me great. So it's not pride. And you must not suppose either that because David wrote this psalm that the saints are only excellent to him. No. You are excellent to God. You are excellent to the Lord. David sees as God sees, and David writes as God writes, and David speaks as the voice of God. And the Holy Spirit speaketh through David. And I remind you, this is a messianic psalm, so the words can be taken as the words of Christ. And Christ calls his people the excellent. They're excellent. His sheep are precious in his sight. What does he call them? What does the Lord Jesus call his people? His jewels. His excellent jewels. He calls his people his peculiar treasure. He says to them, thou art a special people above all people that are on the face of the earth. He calls them the crown of glory in his hand. He calls them his royal diadem that he keeps and preserves. And Peter, as you remember, says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, the excellent ones in the earth. They are the apple of his eye, he says. They are his portion forevermore, as he is our portion forevermore. They are the sheep of his pasture, his redeemed, that he bought with his blood. They are excellent to him. Wherein then does this excellence lie? We want to think about that this morning. What is there about you, child of God, that makes you magnificent in God's sight? What can the Lord mean when he applies this name to his sheep? Now, I think there are a number of reasons why saints are called the excellent, but I can't go into them all. I wouldn't have the time to go into them all. I just thought I'd just focus on one this morning, the main reason, in actual fact, I think, and that ought to come first. This word excellent, if this was spoken in a heathen court, the heathen would think he's talking about princes. He's talking about nobles. He's talking about the sons and daughters of a king. That's what the heathen would think whenever you refer to the excellent. Oh, that's the king's daughters, the king's sons. They're the excellent. And so the heathen would think of relationship. They're excellent because of a relationship to a king. The heathen would look upon it as position and standing in society. That would come to their mind. And God looks upon his people and he sees their standing. And they're excellent in his sight. And it's all about who they belong to. It's the same reason that Israel is excellent and Egypt isn't. It's about who they belong to. It's about relationship. Israel belongs to the Lord. And Egypt, it just belongs to Pharaoh. And Israel is the excellent because it has the greater king and they're related to the greater king. So the more excellent the king, the more excellent his princes and his children. And in this world, there are two kingdoms. That's all. God's kingdom of light and grace, and Satan's kingdom of darkness and cruelty. And the excellent belong to God's kingdom, the kingdom of light and grace. And the rest belong to the devil and his kingdom. And they can in no way be called the excellent of the earth. Rather, they are the chaff to the wheat. And so, congregation, you are excellent to God because of your union to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason. Saints belong to the most excellent majesty, their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And through grace, Christians have the greatest standing of all. They belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They are called the children of God. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is their elder brother. And for that reason, they are the excellent. They're the princes unto God. Now, by nature, they don't have any standing at all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is none righteous, no, not one. And we all are the sons and daughters of Adam. And we belong to the same lump of depraved humanity. But God has taken his people out. And they belong to him. They belong to the Lord, having been redeemed. What does the Bible say? He raiseth up the poor out of the dunghill. They weren't excellent when he found them. They were the poor in the dunghill. That's where they were by nature. But he raises up the poor out of the dunghill. He takes them from amongst the manure heap. Because that's where we belong. That's where we were found. He lifteth them up, the needy, out of the manure heap to set them among princes, among the excellent, among the royalty, even the princes of his people. And this is why they're excellent, because of the relationship to God, and they're set amongst his children, his princes, his people. Though you've lain among the pots, ordinary, not any different, not excelling in any way, and yet the Lord says, you've been given wings like a dove, covered with silver, to soar into the heavenlies, to be with the redeemed, and your feathers are of gold. Grace has done that to you. Because you belong to Jesus, you're excellent, not in yourself, but because of this King and his grace. And they sing a new song to such a king. Thou art he that has redeemed us to God out of all the kindreds and peoples of the earth. And you've made us kings and priests. We're among the excellent, Lord, because of your blood. And then what does Paul say? If children, then heirs. And not only heirs, but heirs of God. And not only heirs of God, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How more excellent can you be than to be in that position and to have that standing, to be a joint heir with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You have access to the treasures of grace. You have been raised into the heavenlies and the high places in Christ. You are citizens of the palace of heaven. What else would you be called but the excellent? And Christ is the heir and your joint heir with him. What did Jesus say? All things are given to me of my Father. I possess all things. The Father loveth the Son and hath given everything into his hands. And Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And you share in that. And you have access to that. In fact, Paul puts it this way. You're Christ's, and all things are yours. Everything. Promises. The throne of grace, the presence of God, the Spirit of the Lord, everything is yours. You're called Christian. You're even called by his name. You have Christ's name. You're the excellent by having his name, that excellent name in all the earth. You bear it. You've been surnamed by the name of the Lord, just as the Bible says. I've called thee by name. I have surnamed thee. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel, a prince with God. That's what you are, Israel. You're a prince with God. You are excellent. This is your standing. This is what you have in your union to the Lord Jesus. They share then in the riches of Christ. They are partakers of the riches of grace. They have access into the very throne room of God. They are arrayed even with royal garments, with the garments of salvation, with the robes of righteousness. And one day, the Lord shall even say to them, thou hast overcome, sit down with me in my throne. You're the excellent in the earth. This is what the Bible teaches. That crowns await you, people of God. And angels even minister unto you. You're that excellent. You're that important to God. And the Holy Spirit has sealed you. You're that excellent. And he indwells you. You're that excellent. You've been born from above. Your excellence is seen in the price that was paid for your redemption, even the blood of his own dear Son. For we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. No, not even those most excellent things could purchase us, but the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. How excellent you must be if that blood bought you. Now, the world can't see this excellence about us. That is true. What does Paul say? You're dead. Your life is hid in God. Can't be seen. The world can't see it. It's hid. That everlasting life, those privileges of that glory which awaits you, can't be seen. It's hid. Hidden God. And the world doesn't think you're excellent. The world just sees you as ordinary men and women walking. They see saints as trees walking. Maybe they even see him as far worse than that. They're despised and despicable in the eyes of the world. That is true. They see us as the very opposite of excellent. They see us as the lowest. And that's why you're buffeted, because they don't see your excellence. That is why you are reviled, because they don't see your excellence. If they knew you were the prince of the king, they would not revile you. They don't see it, and thus they persecute you. They don't see it, and thus they defame you and run you down. They don't see it in their blindness, and thus you're made as the filth of the world and as the offscouring of all things, as Paul says, fit for the rubbish heap in the eyes of the world, fit to be put on the dungcart that carries away the manure, fit to be flushed down the toilet, because they don't see that you are the excellent ones in the earth. And thus, as they did to Paul, they say to many a saint, that blind world, away with him, away with such a fellow, away with him, for it is not fit that he should even live. Even as they said to your even more excellent Lord Jesus, away with him, crucify him. It is not fit that this fellow should live. If they were blind to the excellency of Jesus your Lord, they will be blind also to your excellency as well. Having shown that the saints are excellent because of their relationship to the Lord and because of their standing in Jesus Christ, let me say several things by way of instruction and application as we come to close. First of all, and surely this must be first, this is major, it becomes us all, young and old, it becomes every one of you to make sure you are among this people. It becomes each of us to endeavor to make our calling and election sure. Are you in the text? Are you in this verse this morning? Are you a member of this group? Are you among the number of the excellent? Now, they have many characteristics, but in the context of this morning's sermon, they have this feature. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is no longer their master. They no longer serve Satan or sin. Have you been translated out of the kingdom of darkness? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Have you renounced Satan and all his works and all his kingdom? Have you renounced it? Have you left it? And have you entered into the kingdom of light? And is Jesus Christ your King and Savior and Lord? If he is, then you are among the excellent. Have you taken him as Lord? Are you sanctified by faith in him alone? Are you sealed with his Holy Spirit of promise? Have you been baptized into Jesus Christ? Are you in the royal family of God? Are you interested in the Lord at all? Does his kingdom mean anything to you? Do you love and serve the Lord Jesus? And so that's the first major thing to ask yourselves and to inquire. Am I amongst this people? Are you an excellent one? Secondly, a word to the saints themselves who are among the excellent. Two things. First of all, to think right about yourself, not to think evil of yourselves. And secondly, not to live in any way so as to debase yourself and stay in this excellency. First of all, the excellent should not think evil of themselves. That does not mean that you cannot think humbly of yourself. Yes, saints are to think humbly of themselves. They can still continue to be humbled for their falls and for remaining sin. They can still speak as Job and Isaiah and Paul and Peter and Bishop Hooper and John Bradford, who we quoted earlier, who all acknowledged their unworthiness. But still, we must not do it as slaves in bondage. We must not acknowledge our unworthiness and have a sense of it, and yet not have a sense of our standing in Jesus Christ through grace. And so we must confess our unworthiness, but as those who belong to Jesus Christ. Like Paul, yes, he felt the chief of sinners. Yes, he could say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And yet he could say, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I have a relationship to him. I have a relationship to Jesus Christ. He is my Lord." And it's in that relationship that the excellent lies. Yes, sense of unworthiness, wretched man in yourself, remaining corruption, falls and failures, and yet I thank God through the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. He knows he has this relationship with the Savior. He knows he is a child of God. He knew he was a son and an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, as he goes on to talk about in the next chapter after he says those words to the Romans. And so Paul always tempered his sense of unworthiness and his wickedness and wretchedness with this truth that he is among the excellent through grace. And so don't think evil of yourselves in that sense as to forget your excellency in your relationship to Christ. You're a son, not a slave. You're a child, not a servant in bondage. Sometimes, sadly, even the saints do not see themselves aright. Even the saints see themselves as trees walking. They are blind to their excellency. Men cannot see the fellowship of the mystery at all, and even saints have to pray that they might see it right, that they might see it more clearly. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It's not visible, it's not manifest. It's hard to see it at all, only by faith. Doesn't appear yet, but you have to see it by faith. You're not to think evil of yourself. You're not to think less of yourself than you are in Jesus Christ. Paul put it this way: we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I know in part now, but then shall I know even as I am known. Even Paul didn't see himself as clear as he will in that day. And so Paul had to pray and preach that believers might see their excellence and be not enslaved in bondage again. You're excellent because you're in Christ. God sees your excellency when you cannot. He knows his grace in your own life whenever you cannot see it. Whenever your corruptions prevent you seeing it, he still sees it. Just as a farmer, he doesn't despise his wheat because of the presence of the chaff. The wheat is a precious wheat still, no matter about all the chaff and what it's growing with. It's his precious wheat. And you're his excellent ones, even with the presence of the chaff. The shepherd doesn't despise the sheep because the sheep is still tending to wander. No, it is his excellent sheep, and he goes after it still. And so even the saints need to pray that their eyes might be opened, that they might know their calling, the hope of it, and the excellence of it. Just as Paul prayed for the congregations, he knew how saints thought. He knew how he thought himself at times. He knew what he needed to pray. And so he prayed for the saints that the Lord would give you wisdom and knowledge and revelation in the knowledge of himself, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know the hope of your calling, that you might see your excellency and what you have in Jesus Christ, that you might see the riches of his glory, of the inheritance in the saints, and what is his exceeding power and might and greatness toward you. You need to see that, child of God, the power of sanctifying grace in your life, the power of the Spirit in your heart working. What you have in Christ, pray that he would grant you, God would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by might, by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God grant you to be able to comprehend your excellence, so that your hearts might rejoice, and that you'll not be Christians in bondage and in slavery and servitude, but saints that are rejoicing in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So think right about yourselves. Don't despair that you're not perfect yet or sinless. You will be one day. Your sanctification is ongoing. But this is the truth. You belong to Christ by your faith in him. And that's your comfort, because that is your excellence. And that alone. What is your only comfort in life and death? One of the greatest statements ever in a catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, that I am not my own, but I belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of everlasting life and makes me willing and ready always to love and serve him. And secondly, not only to think evil of yourselves by forgetting your excellence through grace, also, congregation, the Word of God calls us not to live in any ungodly or wicked way. After all, we are the excellent through grace. Excellent grace has brought us into an excellent standing and relationship in the family of God. And so we must not lower ourselves. We must not stoop again to the dunghill. We must not go down into the gutter. We must not fulfill the works of the flesh or carry out any debasing actions. You are the Lord's excellent ones. Therefore, live as such. Show forth the praises of him that called you into this standing. Be ye followers of God as near and dear children unto him, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved you, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice and a sweet-smelling savour to God. And all uncleanness and covetousness and all wickedness and filthiness and fornication and all foolish joking and jesting and nonsense talk and things that are not convenient, let them not be named among you, since you are the excellent in the earth. Thus live as the excellent ones, walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, standing not in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat with the mockers, gathering not in the assembly of the wicked, but rejoicing in the assembly of the righteous, and your delights in his laws and his testimonies. For the laws and testimonies of men are manifesting themselves to be increasingly corrupt and defiled. You are the excellent ones. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Let us pray.